Battle of Chrysler's Farm. 3 weeks after the Battle of Chateauguay, a second American army marched west along the St. Lawrence River. Unlike Chateauguay, the Battle of Chrysler's Farm was a conventional thin red line battle, one of those we slug each other from 100 yards apart type battles where you don't duck and all that type of stuff. Anyways, the American force, led by a loudmouthed Kentucky general named James Wilkinson, attempted to advance on Montreal. A combined Anglo-Canadian force intercepted him and then pursued him and finally caught up to him at a place called Chrysler's Farm. The subsequent fight was short. The Americans turned and tried to break the English lines. The attack failed and the Americans fled. Both sides, of course, claimed victory, but I'm not sure how the Americans could claim victory here. They're the ones that ran away. The British burned Washington, D.C. In retaliation for the sack of York, the British launched a seaborne invasion in autumn of 1814 of America's capital city, Washington, D.C. During the battle, the American army retreated, and the British burned down virtually the entire city, including the White House. The fire damage of the White House was so extensive that only the exterior walls remained. A legend emerged during the reconstruction of the president's home that apparently white paint was applied to the house to hide the burn damage, and thereafter their fancy-schmancy little house there became known as the White House. Well, unfortunately, this is just a legend, as the White House had been white ever since its completion in 1798. President Madison himself barely escaped capture when the British arrived in the capital, and in his haste he left a number of important documents behind that most Americans think are important, things like the original Declaration of Independence and so on. However, his courageous wife Dolly did manage to escape with the Declaration and a life-size portrait of George Washington. The story does not end there, though. In 1939, a Canadian man returned a jewelry box to then-President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. The Canadian claimed that his grandfather had taken it from the White House during the British attack in 1814. After a couple of days, the British packed up and sailed north, then attacking the city of Baltimore and laying siege to Fort McHenry. The attack inspired a poet named Francis Scott Key to write a poem called The Star-Spangled Banner. The poem was adopted eventually as a national anthem in 1931. Conclusion, the Treaty of Ghent. The war officially ended on December 24, 1814 with the signing of the Treaty of Ghent. It resulted in a number of positive things for both Canada and the United States. For Canada, we remained independent of America, we claimed victory, our shared border with the United States was demilitarized, the war cemented our at least Upper Canada's British cultural and political nature and relative stuffiness, and the colonial rivalries that had created such instability in North America were now completely over. They're gone. The continent would basically be divided equally between Canadians and Americans now. In terms of America, well, Britain finally recognized their independence. Of course, America claimed victory. And Britain returned all the seized territories, I should say, and Britain agreed not to interfere any longer with the westward expansion of America. The War of 1812 had mainly negative consequences for Native peoples in North America. As relations between Canada and the United States normalized, the First Nations were no longer needed as allies. The time when either the British or the French would look to them for help was over. And just as Tecumseh had warned, the Americans and Canadians moved westward, glutting themselves on native lands and destroying centuries-old societies in the process.